Hello, everybody, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast from Israel. My name is Sophia, and I will be reading for you today. Today is Wednesday, the 5th of May, which is the 23rd of Iyar on the Hebrew calendar, and day 38 of the counting of the Omer. On Today in History, in the journal, we can read that water comes from the rock at Horeb, tradition from Exodus 17, verse 1 through 7. Quote, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." This is also the day of the death of Christian Zionist and Messianic pioneer Count von Zinzendorf in the year 5520, or year 1760. Zinzendorf was a German missions pioneer and a leading 18th century Protestant. He had a vision for the national and spiritual restoration of Israel in her land. As a, quote, first fruits of this vision, he encouraged the establishment of Judenkehille, Jews Kehila, Torah-observant Messianic Jewish communities existing autonomously within the Jewish community, rather than in Gentile churches. By the 1770s, Judenkehille existed in Germany, England, and Switzerland. This week's Torah portion is called Behal B'chukotai, which means on the mountain and in my statutes. And today's Aliyah is Leviticus 25, verse 39 through 26, verse 9. Before we start the reading, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples, through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. If your brother has grown poor among you and sells himself to you, you must not subject him to slave labor. Let him stay with you as a hired worker or as a temporary resident. He will work for you until the year of Jubilee. Then he is to be released from you, he and his children with him, and may return to his own family and to the property of his fathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They are not to be sold in a slave sale. You are not to rule over him with harshness, but fear your God. As for your male and female slaves, whom you may acquire out of the nations that are around you, from them you may buy male and female slaves. You may also acquire from among the children of the foreigners dwelling among you, as well as from their families who are with you, those born in your land. They may also become your property. You may also leave them an inheritance for your children after you, to receive as a possession. These may become your slaves permanently. But over your brothers, Bnei Israel, you must not rule over one another with harshness. If an outsider or sojourner with you becomes rich, while your brother beside him has become poor, and sells himself to the outsider dwelling among you, or to a member of the outsider's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is a close relative to him from his family may also redeem him. Or if he's grown rich, he may redeem himself. He is to calculate with the one who bought him from the year that he sold himself to the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale will be in proportion to the number of years. Like the days of a hired worker, it will be with him. If there are still many years in proportion to those, he is to reimburse the price of his redemption from his purchase price. If there remain only a few years until the year of Jubilee, then he should calculate with him in proportion to his years of service. He is to reimburse the price of his redemption. He will stay with him as a hired worker year by year, but he is not to rule with harshness over him in your sight. Even if he is not redeemed by these means, then he will still be released in the year of Jubilee, he and his children with him. For Bnei Israel are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You are not to make idols for yourselves, nor raise up an engraved image or a standing stone, or place any carved stone in your land to bow down to it. for I am the Lord your God. You are to keep my Shabbatot and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes, keep my mitzvot, and carry them out, then I will give you rains in their season. The land will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will yield their fruit. Your threshing will last until grape gathering. The grape gathering will last until the sowing time. You will eat your bread to the full and live securely in your land. I will bring shalom in the land, and you will lie down, with no one making you afraid. I will remove dangerous beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will turn toward you, make you fruitful, and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. That was Leviticus 25:39-26:9. Our next portion is from the prophets, and it is Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that come through these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, mend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, and say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. No, if you truly mend your ways and your deeds, if you are doing justice between a man and his neighbor, not oppressing the sojourner, orphan, and widow, nor shedding innocent blood in this place, nor going after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are empty. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery and perjury, and offer incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house that bears my name, saying, 'We are saved,' so that you may keep doing all these abominations? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Look, even I have seen it. It is a declaration of the Lord. Indeed, go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I first made my name dwell. Now see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you early and often, but you did not listen. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house that bears my name, the one in which you trust, the one that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, just as I cast out all your brothers, all the offspring of Ephraim. As for you, do not pray for this people. Do not offer any supplication or petition for them, nor entreat me, because I will not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough to make sacrificial cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Moreover, they pour out drink offerings to other gods in order to provoke me to anger. But am I the one they're provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not vexing themselves to their own shame? Therefore thus says the Lord God, my anger and my wrath is about to be poured out on this place, on man and beast, and on the trees of the field and the fruit of the land, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the meat. For on the day that I brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them, nor did I command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I explicitly commanded them, obey my voice, and I will be your God to you, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed their own counsel in the stubbornness of their evil heart. They have gone backward and not forward from the day your fathers left the land of Egypt until today. Although I sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily and persistently, they did not listen to me or pay attention. Rather, they stiffened their neck, doing more evil than their fathers. When you tell them all these things, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer you. So you will say to them, "This nation has not obeyed the voice of the Lord their God or received correction. Truth has perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and throw it away, and take up a lamentation on the barren hills. For the Lord has spurned and cast off the generation of his wrath. The children of Judah have done what is evil in my sight. It is a declaration of the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that bears my name to defile it. They have built the high places of Tophet in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it even enter my mind. Therefore the days are soon coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be called Tophet, nor the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The carcasses of this people will be food for the birds of the sky and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will bring an end from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem to the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land will be desolate." That was Jeremiah chapter 7. Our next portion is from the writings, and it is Job chapter 28. "Surely there is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness. He searches to the furthest reaches, for ore in gloom and blackest darkness. He cuts open a shaft far from dwellings, in places forgotten by feet. Far from other people, they dangle back and forth. The earth, from which food comes, is transformed as by fire, a place whose rocks are sapphires, its dust contains gold. No bird of prey knows the path, nor falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts have not set foot on it, and no lion has passed there. Man sets his hand against the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. He carves out tunnels through the rocks. His eyes seize every precious thing. He dams up streams from flowing and brings hidden things to light. But where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It is not in me.' The sea says, 'It is not with me.' Pure gold cannot be given for it, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be weighed in gold from Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold or crystal can compare with it, nor vessels of fine gold exchanged for it. No mention will be made of coral or jasper. The price of wisdom is more than pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot compare to it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where is the place of understanding? It's been hidden from the eyes of all living things, concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and Death say, 'With our ears we have heard a rumor of it.' God understands its way, and he knows its place. He looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he made the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he set a limit for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at it and assessed it, established it and examined it. And he said to mankind, 'The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding.'" That was Job 28. Our last portion for today is Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of the flesh, God has done, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as a sin offering. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Ruach set their minds on the things of the Ruach. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Ruach is life and shalom. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not submit itself to the law of God, for it cannot. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Ruach, if indeed the Ruach Elohim dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Ruach of Messiah, he does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Ruach of the one who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Ruach who dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we do not owe anything to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Ruach you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For all who are led by the Ruach Elohim, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall again into fear. Rather, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Ruach himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans together and suffers birth pains until now. And not only creation, but even ourselves. We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Ruach, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption, the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In the same way, the Ruach helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Kedoshim according to the will of God. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in view of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? It is Messiah who died and moreover was raised, and is now at the right hand of God, and who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. That was Romans chapter 8, which was the last portion for today. If you're reading the double track of apostles, you would also read Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 35. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope and pray that you have a blessed and beautiful day. I'm Sophia, and this has been Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom, until next time.